Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
We're going to jump into it. Father, we thank you so much for what you're already doing in this year, Lord. Lord, we're seeing the signs. We're seeing things happen, Lord. And if we're not paying attention to the world, God, the world is coming to you, God. And Lord, we want to be a part of that. That's coming to you, making room for you, where you can only do what you know how to do to us and then through us, God. And Lord, we want to give you the glory. Everybody say, you get the glory, you get the honor, and you get the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, some of you that started the 21 days of prayer and fasting at the very first day of the year, this is your last day. Come on. Whoop, whoop. But the rest of you that started maybe the second week, you got next week to go. But let me tell you something. You're in the home stretch. Don't give up now. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's go ahead and throw up the word, the first note today. And again, really did get this in a time of praying in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord just downloaded this into me a few months ago about what 24 would be available. And 2024, we're going to have everybody say a capacity for fullness. Come on, say it with me. A capacity for fullness. Do I need to bring my cups back out this week? Okay, we want to be filled to capacity with the power and the Spirit and the anointing of God this year. In order to do that, you've got to make room for Him to have that capacity in your life. Say amen there. Amen. Why? We've got to have capacity for fullness for the things God is going to make available. He's making it available, but He's going to do it again, and I've told you this, He'll do it with or without you. Now, He wants you. He wants your part of His plan for this earth. And how many of you know God has a plan for your life? Amen. God has a purpose for birthing you at this particular time on planet Earth. You're not a mistake. You are here for a purpose. He's got great plans for your life this year, but you have to make room and make it available. But He's going to do it, and He's going to do it to these people and with those who make room for Him this year. Amen. Now, how many has heard of, especially since the what I call the plandemic that came out, the coronavirus, the China virus. How many's heard of a thing after that that's set up from a group of leaders, they've made themselves leaders, called the World Economic Forum, called the Great Reset? Yeah. Wave at me if you've heard of that term, the Great Reset. And what the Great Reset is they want to come in and they wanted to use this time during lockdowns and different rules to pass things to where they can literally put you in a place where there's a new world government, one world government, the new world order, whatever term you want to call it, and that's their dream, is to get to that. Now, that's real, amen? You know, everybody says, well, no, that's a conspiracy. Well, we need other conspiracies because these are coming true. And they've made it plain that they want things done in what they call 15-minute cities. And you know, even one of their main members that founded it says, you know, we want to get you to a point where you will own nothing and you will like it. You will own nothing and you will like it. But in order for their great reset to happen, you've got to come in and have a new world order mindset to go along with it, or you're not going to go along with it. So that's the goal, is to get you to change your mind about how you think, what you're looking for, what you're looking to as your source. And I can remember prophesying this when the Lord gave me a prophetic word. I'm talking probably 12, 15 years ago. Right in the middle of one of my messages, the Lord says, say this. And I said, okay. And I told you then, and some of you will remember it because I don't mention it often, but I told you there will come a time in our lifetime when you will either look to the government to be your source or you'll look to God to be your source. How many were some of y'all here when I said that? And we see that coming, beginning to happen more and more and more. You're either going to look to God or we're going to look to government. Well, in the Great Reset, they want you to look to government. But again, as long as your mindset does not go there, you won't go there. And that's why they're doing everything with all the seven mountains of influence, from the media to education to arts and entertainment, to get you into a world mindset where you will no longer have an independent freedom mindset. And it's called the Great Reset. But as long as there's a section of people believes in freedom, that believes in capitalism and the free market, come on, that believes in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, especially the freedom of speech and freedom of worship and religion, and then that pesky Second Amendment, and we believe and hold on to that. And then if you go so far as to actually believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man goes to the Father except through Him, as long as you've got that, you will not fall for the lies. But listen to me, the moment you begin to believe those things are outdated and they're not relevant no more, and we'd be better off just all getting, I'm telling you, you don't want that. Can I have a better amen? But can I also tell you that the Great Reset is absolutely a biblical model? The Great Reset is nothing more than them taking the Word of God and perverting it for their own stuff. Because it's a biblical model. Having something to come in and reset things and change things to a better way is a biblical model. But I got news for them, and I got news for you in case you don't know it. The Great Reset's already happened. Go ahead and put the next note up. The Great Reset came when Jesus resurrected from the grave and He established the new covenant testament of God. That's the greatest reset the earth has ever known. Are you with me this morning? I mean, guys, we were bound under a law mentality, a governmental structure of governmental law. Yes, godly law, but the government enforced their laws on us too. And then Jesus came, and He challenged the methods, He challenged their systems, and He brought in a brand new covenant that didn't get rid of the law, it just fulfilled the law through the grace of Jesus. And the blood of Christ covers our sins. Can I have a thank you, Jesus, in this camp? Amen. So Jesus came for this very reason. Go ahead and put up the next note. Jesus came to establish His Father's kingdom here on earth, not another religion. If there's one thing the earth didn't need back then and it doesn't need today, it doesn't need any more religion. We need a kingdom who has a king already. And His name is King Jesus. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Hallelujah. And so today when we talk about having a capacity for God, and when we really played off of it a lot last week, is you've got to begin to see it before you get it. To have that vision of what is God going to do in 2024, and how's He going to use me? How's He going to use this family? How's He going to use Journey Church? How is He going to use the things that He's got, His children, His churches, to make happen in 2024 what the kingdom needs to happen? Because religion won't make it happen, but kingdom will. Amen? So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 14 this morning, and then we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 for a little while. The Bible says, As Paul is writing to the church of Corinth here, he's telling them, as it is written, now he's quoting prophecy already, but he's telling it now into the new covenant church. He says, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that say it with me, love Him. Can I ask you this morning, church, do you love Jesus? I mean, do you love Him with all your heart, your soul, your strength, your might? Because if you do, there's going to be a difference in you this year. You're going to have your capacity for God. You're going to make room for Him this year if you love Him. Now, if you just like Him, come on now. If you just kind of like a little Jesus when on Sundays, the little dabble, do you? You ain't going to make a difference this year. Not one that matters anyway. Okay? But for those who love Him, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through His what? Spirit. There you go. Everybody say it's a spirit thing. Spirit. Come on, He's revealing these things by His Spirit. For the Spirit of God, of course, searches all things. Everybody say all things. Does he know what's going on behind the scenes of the government? The Spirit of God knows. Does he know what's going on in Pakistan? The Spirit of God knows. Does he know what's going on between Hamas and Israel right now? God already knows. Does he know what's going on in Vladimir Putin's mind with Russia and Ukraine? God's Spirit already knows, guys. And we're sitting here panicking. And we're uncertain and we're torn and we're twisted. And we watch news and then we get all out of whack. Just trust me, you're not going to get the truth in American news broadcasting. Okay, if you want the truth, the Word of God. But God has revealed him through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The next verse goes on and says this, For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Amen? Even so, no one knows the things of God except, everybody say except, except the Spirit of God. You can't know God without knowing him through the Spirit. And I think that's one of the problems. We've quit trying to know God based on the spiritual knowledge of God, and we try to do it on intellectual knowledge. We try to do it through religion, denominations, whatever you want to call it, and we try to get to God and know the things God's doing. My friend, this is the best way to get to know God. With the Spirit of God and his Word, you will know the things of God. You won't have to wonder. All right, that's what the Bible says. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. All right, let's go on. Now we have received, okay, not the spirit of the world. Oh, come on, somebody. I hope you ain't got the spirit of the world. Because if you got the spirit of the world, there ain't room for two spirits up in this camp. Amen? We have received not the spirit of the world system, but we have the Spirit who is from God. Why? There's a purpose. We have the Spirit of God. Why? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, let me stop there just a moment. This has been freely given to you and I. Didn't cost us nothing. It cost Jesus everything. And he died to give you his Word. Why? Because this Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. It's kind of an acronym for Bible. Basic instructions before we leave earth and go to heaven. See, when you understand that you know the things that God has for you in here, and that he's for you, he's not against you. He's here to make you the head, not the tail. He's here to put you above and not beneath. That you've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That no demonic force in hell can overtake you in the spirit. And when you begin to understand who you are and how you walk in his authority and in his spirit, let me tell you something, that's the worst thing that can scare the devil. Yep. Amen. And it's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to your life. Put up the next verse. Now watch this. Did we finish up? No, we didn't finish up. I hope we didn't finish up. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. Now watch verse 13. Now, there you go. These things we also speak. Now, watch this. We speak the things of God. Everybody say, I speak the things of God. Come on, say that with a little more confidence. I speak the things of God. I'm his child. I have his spirit. His spirit dwells in me. I know his word. I know his spirit. Therefore, I speak the things of God. Every Christian in here ought to be able to say that. I speak the things of God. When I open my mouth, the things of God are coming out. Not always, maybe. When I'm frustrated, I open up with the peace of God. Probably not most of the time, but we need to learn, okay? He says, these things we also speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches. So we're not out here. I don't want to come today and teach you about the Bible in a worldly manner. I want to teach you about the Bible in the spirit manner. Because the Word and God are all spirit and truth. Come on. So not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, and we're comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. In other words, we're not trying to get you to understand the Bible according to the ways of the world, because the world is at enemy of the Word of God. The world is at odds with what the Spirit teaches. They're never going to get along. But spiritual people who have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and have spiritual hunger and have a capacity they have for Christ, they're going to have ears to hear. They're going to have eyes to see. They're going to have a heart to know, because they're spiritually discerned, not earthly discerned, not worldly discerned. That's why you're not going to see on the media and everything how to come to Christ. You're not going to see, yeah, our world's in turmoil. Why don't we go to Jesus? You're never going to see that, because the world system is at war with God. Amen? And even when you hear a politician say, oh, country, we need to pray, they'll even say, pray to God. My thing is, which one? Because I know y'all serving multiple ones up there. And I know y'all trying to be politically correct, but there's only one God. Amen? Teaching and comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at the next verse. But the natural man, everybody say the natural man. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. I could camp right there and just preach the rest of the night, into the night. The natural man does not receive the things of God. Why? Because he's operating in natural, not spiritual. Do you know how many people today are churches and people and places are gathering together in a religion name, but they don't have no idea what the Spirit of God is up to? Come on. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. There are people probably in your life and on your page and social media that make fun of you somewhere for going to church and being one of those Christians. I consider it an honor. Call me weird, call me crazy. Well, you're a nut. Yeah, I'm screwed on the right boat, though, baby. Amen? And if being normal in this world is denying Christ, I don't want to be normal. If normal is saying the foolishness of God and the foolishness of church, don't need that no more. It's outdated. It's quantitated. I don't need it. Call me foolish. I want to be counted among the weird. Amen? And a terrorist, by the way, according to my government. For they are foolishness. The things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to him, nor can he know them again, because they're spiritually discerned. Guys, listen to me now. We shouldn't expect lost people to act saved. Hey, come on. What do you think you're going to get from a secular media, a secular government, a secular business, a secular entertainment world? What? The reason the garbage and the filth's out there, because they're not born again to the Spirit of God. Amen. So they at least, even though an excuse ain't going to stand up in that day, they have partial excuse. But when the church doesn't look like God, when the church doesn't talk like God anymore, and when we compromise and allow more of the world to come into our church than we do the Spirit, then the church has got a problem. God doesn't. So we shouldn't expect lost people to act saved, but by golly, we should expect saved people to act saved. Amen. To talk saved, to walk saved, and know the things of God. It's very easily put this morning. Now watch this. Everybody say that's verse 14. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Are you with me this morning? Now, Old Covenant. Now, there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament in our Bible. There's 66 books comprised of this. Two books, Old Covenant books, New Covenant books. That's another word for testament, is the covenant. Are you with me? That means there was a mindset, something came and we had a great reset, and now the whole new covenant is about changing the old mindset and understanding the new. Okay? But as long as you're locked in under the old, you're staying under condemnation. You'll stay under nutrition from the food of God. Oh, come on. Are you with me this morning? It was the old mindset before the Great Reset. It was the old teachings. It was the old religious. It was the religious people and the religious leaders who crucified Jesus in the name of religion. Why? Because they could not see the new covenant before their eyes. Even though they were standing before the Son of God. Now, these are great men of study of the Torah, the old scriptures, the Old Testament, the law and religion. They knew that stuff inside out, but they couldn't even recognize Jesus Christ and what he's doing, fulfilling the law and bringing in a dispensation of grace through faith. And guys, we still have people doing the same thing today in church. They cannot come into the marvelous grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And because you don't look like them and act like them and dress like them, they will condemn you. If you've ever messed up, maybe not exactly the way they have, but different, they condemn you because you messed up. Your sin is just different, that's all it is. They still have it too, but they don't acknowledge it. Everybody say it's still happening today. Complete organizations, denominations, churches deny the things of the Spirit of God. It's still going on today. Why? Because, again, they are spiritually discerned, not religiously discerned, not whatever you want to call it discerned, spiritually discerned. And if you don't believe that's still happening today in the churches, let me just say a couple of things to you. The gift of speaking in tongues. The gift of prophesying and prophecy in modern times. Well, now here at this church, we don't believe in that. Okay. You know why you don't believe in it? Because it's spiritually discerned. And you've already made your mind up. You're not going to allow your spirit to coexist with God's spirit and his word about it, because somebody taught you that that no longer happens. But yet Bible proves not only did it not quit, it's still happening today. Because if he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, then his word is for yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And if it's in the old and the new covenant, it's for today. Can I have a better yeah? So what does man do? What was man doing back then with Jesus? The same thing man and religion's doing with Jesus today. We have limited our capacity for the things of God that we either don't like, we don't understand, we have experienced it. It may be in the Word, but just because it's in the Word, we choose not to believe it. When people ask me, how much of the Bible do you believe? Y'all know what I tell them. Several of y'all can quote what I tell them. I believe it all. I even believe the maps in the back of my Bible are accurate. I believe Genesis all the way to Revelation, everything in between. The book of Acts, yes. The book of James, oh, yeah. Everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I believe it all. Because it's all from God. And God's not going to put nothing in there to harm me, but he's going to put things in there where I can have spiritual discernment. Amen. Can I have a better amen? Amen? Now let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke, chapter 5. Jesus is calling Matthew to be his disciple here. And you know, Matthew was a tax collector, which was hated by everybody that's still like the IRS today. Come on now, can I get a better witness in the house of the Lord? Needs to be abolished, amen. But anyway, so now in the book of Luke, he calls him by his surname, which was Levi. Levi is Matthew, okay? But in the book of Luke, he refers to him in that name of Levi. So we're going to pick up reading in John chapter 5, verse 29. The Bible says, later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Everybody say that's cool. Now watch this. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. Next verse. But the Pharisees, these were the religious people. These were the people of God. Everybody say God. Y'all got that. Y'all, look at y'all. Y'all spiritual now. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious laws, now we're talking about they're still under the old, complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. Everybody say Jesus' disciples. So who's he complaining to here? Jesus' disciples. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? And people still asking that today. Why do you go to that church? Why you part of this Jesus movement? You really believe the Bible? Why are you hanging out with these religious nuts? Look at what Jesus answered and said to him. Jesus said to him, healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Amen. And then he goes on, this is my favorite part. Jesus says, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous. Oh, that hit about 90% of the church right there. They think they're all righteous. Come on. We like to think we're righteous. Can I tell you, unless your righteousness is of the Lord, it's filthy as rags. Amen? The Bible even says that our righteousness is as filthy as rags, but we can have the righteousness of Christ through Jesus. Amen? And we can be that righteous man, woman of God. It's not out of reach, or the Bible would have said it was out of reach. But he says, I have not come to call those who think they're righteous, but to those who know they're sinners and need to be repented. Woo! Can I tell you that's still the way, the truth, and the life in today's time?
Yes.
Amen? In order for you to repent, you got to know you're in sin. Problem is today, we know we're in sin, but we just don't want the repentance part.
Right.
It still works, y'all. It's still God's idea. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Now, if you look at Jesus' life on earth, and I've already mentioned this a little bit, he always challenged the old methods.
Yes.
He challenged the old mindsets. He challenged the old systems that they were operating under. That's what got him crucified, because he was challenging the old way.
Yes.
Come on. Now, this is really where I want to get to. Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 38. We're just going to pick right up with verse 33 out of Luke 5. Then they said to him, talking to Jesus here, why did the disciples of John fast often, and they make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees? Now, everybody say the Pharisees.
Pharisees.
See, these religious leaders also had disciples.
Right.
And a lot of people were disciples of the Pharisees back in those days. They were followers of the Pharisees' teachings and the law and the strict rules that they had to abide by to make themselves look and appear righteous, when in reality they were not righteous at all. They couldn't even recognize Jesus right in front of them. Still have that same problem in a lot of places today. But why did the John's disciples fast and the Pharisees' disciples fast? But Jesus, your disciples, they eat and drink. Again, you ain't going to outsmart Jesus. Let's put Jesus' answer up. And Jesus said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom's with them? In other words, Jesus is right here in your presence. You don't even recognize it. They do. We ain't fasting it. Anybody ever been to a wedding that didn't have no food? Anybody? Now, how many old school people we got in here? Raise your hand. How many of y'all remember going to weddings back in the 60s, 70s, 80s? You walked into the wedding reception, and you had the cake. And to the right-hand side, if you're the server, you had those little nasty green and white and purple mints. Those chalky ones, you know, this. You had a bowl of those. And then over here, you had a bowl of peanuts. If it was a fancy wedding, you had a bowl of the mixed kind of with the cashews and the pecans in there. That's rich people. And then you had a bowl of punch. And that's it. Come on, let's go back to the old ways. Now you walk into it, you've got a buffet line over here, the chicken fingers, the snacks, and the fruits, and the dips, and the carrots, and the stuff, and over here, then you got a whole fruit thing over here, then you got the groom's cake, you got the bride's cake, you got the thing. Hey, the only thing I'm praying, the nasty mints are gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. I mean, now we got to feed everybody like a five-course meal at a wedding. But you never go to a wedding without food. Why? Because it's a time of celebration when you're at a wedding. And they had the bridegroom of Christ himself with them. They ain't no reason to fast when you got that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But he goes on and tells them, next verse. But the day will come when the bridegroom will be taken away, talking about his crucifixion, and then they will fast in those days. There will be a reason to fast, okay? Everybody say, uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Now, go to the next verse. Then he spoke a parable to them. This is where I really want to get to now. Jesus begins to speak this to these religious people who are trying to keep everything under the old system, the old method, and the old ways. Now watch this. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Or otherwise, the new one makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new one does not match the old. Everybody say, it don't match. It never matches. Why? Because it's not made from the exact same thing. Can I tell you, you can't match what used to be to what is now.
Amen.
Now, there are some similarities, and there's a lot of things, and I'm not saying the Old Testament is done away with. I'm saying it's been fulfilled, and now we're walking in a new dispensation of Christ, the Messiah, coming now and dying for your sins. Thank you, Jesus. And a lot of people still stuck at the cross. They can't even get through the cross yet.
Right.
So it won't match. If you're trying to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, he died for your sins, he resurrected over death, hell, and the grave, and he's King of Kings and Messiah, but yet you're still trying to live under the old covenant, then you're going to run into a lot of walls.
Amen.
and barriers, and you're going to, oh, it's horrible. Go to the next verse. This is where I want to get to today. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. Everybody say new wine's better. New wine is always awesome. Amen? Now, in those days, they had the wineskins that they would pour wine into. And after use, a wineskin would become hardened and brittle, much like a lot of people's hearts. Situation's been poured into you, another situation got poured into you, and life poured into you here, and you didn't ask for this to be poured into you, but there's been some things poured into your life, and unless you've walked by the Spirit through all of it, it can become hardened and brittle from the inside out. But new wine, everybody say new wine. When new wine is stomped out and the grapes and the firmament and the muscadines are stomped out and then everything's added and it's poured into a skin, it begins to have what they call, the gases begin to expand as they begin to mix for newness. And when it expands, if it's in an old wineskin, it's rigid, it's brittle, it's not going to move. And if you pour it into the old mindset, it's going to shatter. And now the old wineskin is busted and the wine is also lost. So no good comes from new wine in an old wineskin. But you take new wine and you put it into a new wineskin, a skin that is not brittle, it is not hardened, it is not rigid, it is pliable, it's soft, it's ready to move and expand with the wine. And you pour the new wine into new wineskin, and it gets to do what the wine's designed to do, expand the territory. Exactly. Increase the capacity. And the only way the capacity can have increase if it's a new wineskin, not an old one. Now, wineskin is another metaphor basically today of called mindset and attitude. Oh, come on now. And when we become so religiously rigid in our beliefs, and let me tell you something. I don't care where you were raised up. You can be raised up in some preaching. But if they leave some out, and if you got to preach something in the Word out of the Word, come on. That ought to tell you something right there. I got to take something that's in the Word of God, undoubtedly right there on the Scriptures, and I got to make an excuse of why it's not real today. And why you can't have it, but maybe I can. I'm not trying to show you God. I'm trying to be your God. That's absolutely, that's about as real as it gets. Next verse. Now, still Jesus speaking here. New wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, watch this. When that happens, what happens to both of them then? Everybody say they're preserved then. Other system takes the new wine and the old wineskin and burns both of them. But when you're open for capacity and you're not rigid and you go to the Word of God led by the Spirit of God, not a religion, not a denomination, not man's way, but Spirit way, and that begins to pour into you, and you've got capacity to grow and you've made room for the things that God's doing, then guess what? You're going to expand, and the new wine, which represents the anointing and the Spirit of God, is not going to be wasted, and you're not going to be broken. But you're going to produce what happens because you've made room for, and you have capacity for the new wine God is pouring out in this season. Can I have a better amen there? So what does the new wine skin do? Go ahead and put up the next note. The new wine skin has the capacity for the fullness of God. That's exactly what he's talking about here, having a capacity for his fullness, not being so rigid and so set in your ways that when he does something new with his word that you can't say, I don't believe that. I got news for you. don't matter. Not dependent upon, God didn't write it in the Bible dependent upon whether you believe it or not. It's in the Bible because it's truth. Come on. Spiritual gifts. There's a whole bunch of them. Well, I don't believe in that. So? Doesn't make it any less true just because you don't believe in it. And I used to try to argue with these people. I don't even argue with, because how can you argue with unbelief? Because the Bible said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's spiritually given to spiritual people. And when you're not walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, how can you understand the things of God? I understand why you don't understand. Well, but wait a minute, I'm calling myself a Christian too. Okay. Just the limited one. You're a limited edition. You've limited the Word of God. You have not have a capacity for it. You're still under an old wineskin mentality. And the new wine is being poured out this year, but it ain't going to go into old wineskins. Because if it goes into old wineskins, it's going to bust you. Yes. Listen to me now. It's going to bust you. Can I have a better amen there?
Amen.
Amen. So where God is wanting to go in 2024, he has to have new wineskin people. Because if you try to go in 2024 where the glory is going to be poured out in the fresh newness of God, and you're an old wineskin, it's going to be bad for the Spirit of God, and it's going to be bad for you. Can I tell you, this is why most revivals never last? Listen. There's been some great revivals across the land. You had the Welch revival. You've had the Azusa Awakening, the street revival in Azusa Street. That launched the Pentecostal Church of America, come out of that. And in recent times, in my lifetime, how many, again, here's what's funny. I've asked a lot of people this in the last 2 weeks, and they're like, the what? How many, the Brownsville revival. Raise your hand if you know of the Brownsville revival. Come on, raise your hand high if you've heard of the Brownsville revival. There are a lot of people in here going, what revival? It was one of the greatest revivals of this century. Happened on Father's Day of 1995, Father's Day, in Pensacola, Florida. The Lord hit the whole church. I mean, took the whole church, the platform, and everybody in there was in the floor for hours. Just in a sovereign move of God's glory came into that church. And they went, from that time on, 1995, Father's Day, they went every single night for 5 years. Thousands came from overseas, from America, everywhere. To get, and they had to build a new place. It was an awesome experience at Brownsville. I went a couple of times, and we took a couple of van loads of men down to that thing and got to experience that. And literally, the sanctuary, the new sanctuary they built, held right at about, I think it was 2,200 people. And then they had an overflow building, and then they had an overflow tent. And if you didn't get there about 10 o'clock that morning, it didn't matter if it was Monday or if it was Friday or if it was Saturday or Sunday. If you wasn't in line by 10, you had to go to overflow. 10 in the morning for a 7 o'clock night service. That's revival. 7 days a week. But what happened? Why did it fade out? Well, number one, people get familiar with it and they quit enjoying it. And once you come and got you fixed, it's like, that was okay for a while, but I'm over that now. That familiar spirit began to hit. But if you talk to a lot of them, what began to happen, not with the staff, but with the people, is as the revival began to shift into the more of the prophetic versus just the outpouring, a lot of people said, no, wait a minute, we don't want that. We want to come up front, somebody smack us in the head, knock us in the floor, we get a good goosebump, and we go home. We want more of that showmanship. Come on. And I'm not saying that's not God. That's God. It's in the Bible too. But see, when you lock it down to it can just be this, but God is wanting to pour out more of the prophetic anointing on a place, but you all of a sudden, you've got rigid, you've locked into this one thing can only be revival here, and then all of a sudden it began to play out. But it did go for 5 years. But I can tell you the reason it didn't continue is because old wineskins got in there. And God was trying to pour out a new thing, and people didn't want it. Are you listening to me this morning? So what God wants to do in this year, you've got to be a new wineskin. Because if what's been working for us ain't working, we need to try something else.
Amen.
We may have to do it a different way. I don't know. But all I know is keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is what they call stupid. And I have told people, what's your method of doing church? I'll tell you, I will do anything except sin to win people to Christ.
Yes.
Look here, if I could come up here and preach in waiters and overall bibs and that would win people to Christ, I'd be up here in overall bibs. I don't care what I wear. If it was bluegrass music right now and people were coming, bing, ding, 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 ding. Chris will be up here with a juice harp. Wang, 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 wang. I don't care. Amen? We got to do what God's Spirit is doing. I don't care how silly I have to look. I'm used to looking silly. I've been doing a pretty good job of that all my life. Before Christ and after Christ. It didn't, you know. Silliness is But if I'm going to be silly, I want to be silly for God.
Yes. Amen.
But I don't want to be silly for God just for the sake of being silly, because it can be ungodly.
Right.
Well, y'all okay?
Yes.
I also went down to the Lakeland revival and had a good time down there when I was there. Had to get in line twice to get healed for a headache. I did. First line, where they had said they wanted any pastor that's pastoring a church to come down, they wanted to pray for you. And this is by the time it was already at the big civic center, so it took me a little while. Me and Bobby were up the balcony, and I got down out of the balcony. I went down there, and I got in line, and the guy that was leading the revival, he was a little radical. He didn't look like a normal. He looked more like a street preacher. And he had a big old ring on, and that ring had slipped around, and he ain't praying gently. I come through the line, and it's kind of like a sheep dip. They just kind of keep you walking. Got to the end where he was at. He went, yay! And I went, oh, my God. Jesus, I felt you, Lord. He nailed me right in the forehead with that ring. Everybody says, did you see the Spirit? I said, no, I saw stars. So I went back, got in line. Went back and got in line. As I come up, they ask, is there anything specific? I said, yeah, I need healing. A massive headache now. That joker nailed me. But that came to an end because new wine with old wineskins. Most revivals cannot survive because of old wineskins. Are y'all okay? Now, let me just say something here we don't ever talk about during this new wine skin, new mindset, new anointing pouring out into old things. New wine, or sometimes you call it fresh revelation. When you get a hold of something and maybe a truth of God that you've been told is not available for you, and you read and find out, wow, it is available for me. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Christ. All of this is for me. It's not just for a select few. Come on, say it's for me. Come on, say this with me. Say the word of God. Every single bit of it is for me. From God. Amen. Now, so if you get that fresh revelation and you get that new wine poured out into you all of a sudden, but you're a religious believer. You're a religious believer. Not a spirit-filled one. It can actually cause your conditions to get worse. I've seen it. Where people have a true encounter with the presence of God, but because of their old mindsets and their old wineskins and life they grew up under, it messed them up because they didn't know how to receive the new wine in the old mindset. And all of a sudden now they're doubting who they are, they're doubting the Word of God, they're doubting what they've been taught, they're doubting everything. And the few that I've had a chance to work with, I just get to them, I say, what does the Word say? Yeah, but I got brought up in a church like this. I said, I don't care. Forget everything you got brought up in. Get with the Word of God. See, this is the Word of God. Let me say it again. It's the word of God Himself. And it was inspired by God's Holy Spirit. So therefore, there is no error in God's word. So let this be your source before any pastor. Are you listening to me? Including me. Let this be your source with the Spirit of God. Then when the preached word of God is preached, you will relate to it. And it will, if this does not take you out of your comfort zone at time in your lives, you're not reading much of it. One of the biggest things the church could do today that would benefit it is unlearn the old wineskin and learn the new wine is better. Now, I want to say one thing to you, and I'm not going to expound on it because I want you to depend on the Holy Spirit to preach this to you. There is never new wine that becomes old immediately. Yeah, some of y'all get that. Some of y'all get it next week or whenever you concentrate on it. No wine starts out as old wine. It's always new wine. Everybody say, okay. Put up the last note. Come on. Information. Studying, reading, praying, worshiping. Information. Information brings you into revelation. I've got a revelation from God in this. The day I got born again at 16 years old, I had a revelation that I was going to hell and God was my way out. Right. And that God loved me. It was I grew up in the church and I knew it. I had information, but I had no revelation. Because revelation always leads you, or it attempts to lead you, into transformation. Right. So at 16 years old, raised in the church all my life, mom and dad took me to church at -9 months. Raised in the church, raised around great people, great pastor, but didn't get saved till I was 16. Because why? Because I got information, 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 and then one day it became a revelation. And I had allowed that revelation to bring me to my transformation to being lost and going to hell to now accepting the revelation of Jesus Christ in my life and now securing my place in heaven forevermore. So my information led to revelation, and revelation's attempt to always lead you into transformation. That's why the Bible says, be you transformed by the renewing of your... Doesn't say the renewing of your spirit, child of God, does it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say you need to renew your spirit. It says it renews. You need to renew the way you think, old wineskin. Are you understanding this? Maybe not, okay. Maybe because it's spiritually discerned. Information brings revelation. Revelation is designed to bring transformation. Let me give you one example before we go. Do y'all remember the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery in Jesus' time? And they drug her before Jesus. Y'all know that story? If you don't, there was a woman caught in the act of adultery. They seized her under the old wineskin, under the old law, under the old religion. They had a right and biblical duty to stone her to death. I never understood why they didn't have the dude there, too. Look at all you sisters getting all liberal with me. You think, brother, where that man at, too? He was the man. But they had the woman there, and they were getting ready to stone her. And Jesus reaches down and begins to write in the sand and the dirt there, and they dropped their rocks and went home. And again, nobody knows what he wrote. None of us were there. The addresses of their girlfriends, probably. I don't know. But they all walked away. And the old mindset was not available to produce what it needed to produce because the new wine was there. Jesus was there this time. Now, there's a lot of very liberal people will see, well, see, that's the tolerance of the new age movement. Jesus and everybody was tolerant of her sin. They tolerated. No, he did not tolerate her sin. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she looked up, she said, Lord, there are none. And he says, neither do I accuse you. But then he followed it up. See, we forget about this. He didn't say, it was okay what you've done. You was just probably at a lowly point. You were probably depressed. You felt needed. A man paid you some attention and you needed some attention. Honey, it's okay. No. Jesus looked at this woman and he said, neither do I accuse you, but listen to me, honey. Go and sin no more. He didn't back up from it being a sin. He just said, there's a new wine here. And this one's full of grace and mercy. And I'll pay your sin debt. But you don't do this again, woman. Guys, if you've got a God that'll let you sin and get away with it, you ought to try getting this God because he's the real one. He'll pay for your sin, and he has paid for your sin, but you got to live by faith in what he's done. Amen? Yeah, that's a good golf clap time right there. The glory that the Lord wants to pour out in 2024 must come into new wineskins. Can I have a better amen? Well, you're talking about all the new of this and the new of that and the new of this and the new of that. Yeah, new wine, new wineskin, or it ain't going to last. You're going to be worse than you were before. Why do I know this? Because of the book of Lamentations. It's a weird place to close out today. But look at the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. The Lord's word says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Is there any time that God doesn't love you? Is there any, listen to me now, is there any time that God doesn't love the sinner? No, there's not. He's always loving them. He's always ready to, and has forgiven them. They just not received it and asked him on his terms. God will never send you to hell. He will just honor your request to go there by rejecting him. You're going to send yourself. He don't. But he ain't going to let you in without the blood of his son. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Woo! Celebrate that verse, church. But look at the next one. They are new. When? They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Stand to your feet with me. Everybody say, he's new every morning. Say this right here. Say, great is your faithfulness. He's new every day, which means what? Which means he's pouring out new wine every single day. Can I ask you this? How many can remember the day you gave your life to Christ? Can you remember that day? Now, how many of you have kind of gotten over it? Come on. Because on that day, you were probably filled with the joy of the Lord. You felt the burden of the world just off of you. You were grateful and thankful. You were in love. You were excited. You were fired up. But where are you at right now? Because that newness can be had every single day of your life if you're born again. But yet we need to get our high off something else now. We have to be entertained. We have to be self-medicated. We got a drug here. We got to have this happen. We got to have so many likes. People got to pay attention to us for us to get a high every day. If you can't get high on Jesus, you don't need to be getting high on nothing else. And when I say high, I'm talking about your excitement, your joy, your strength, your zeal. You crave the wisdom and knowledge of the spiritual things of God. And you get up every day and it's like, I am saved again today in the name of Jesus. Woo! Don't get over it, whatever you do. Don't get over being saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Because I know a lot of people, they've kind of gotten over the newness of it. They wake up every day and it's a depress, it's an oppression, it's a struggle to get out of bed, it's a that, it's a that. Can I tell you, it's just a lack of gratitude, of attitude toward the Lord who saved you. That's a lot of it. That's a whole lot of it. It's a capacity to be full. Because I promise you, when he looks down and sees you're empty and he's new every day, he's got new wine he wants to pour in. He's not going to pour in old wine. He's got to have a new wineskin. And I'm really going to close on this. How many remember just last year, the Asbury revivals? Asbury revival broke out spontaneous. Some of y'all went. And then it broke out in Kentucky. Then it broke out down here at Sanford for a little bit. It broke out in Florida. We had these pockets that broke out. And as great as they were, they didn't last that long. And even here, we had a service that the worship just poured out that day. How many were here for that? There was no preaching, there was no anything but just worship in the altar time, the whole service. And it went longer than I'm going right now. And people were fine with it. And do you know what we did after the meeting when I was discussing some of this with my leaders? I said, we're not doing the same songs next week. We're not going to try to repeat what that day's anointing was for. Because he's got something new. And we falter in finding the one good thing God done, and we try to live there while God's pouring out new wine over here. That's why we'll run over here to a conference. We'll run over here to this man or woman of God. There's nothing wrong with going for those things to be a little refreshed. But if you're running to them as your source, they're not your source. God is your source, his word. If you would look to God before you would look to any man or woman, you'd be a whole lot better off in the world. Then you could go sit and enjoy and be refreshed. Bow your heads with me this morning. Let me say this one last time before I leave this series. In the year of our Lord, 2024, you will get from God what you make room for and you have the capacity for. If you need healing, you make room for healing, you're going to get healed. If you need mental stability, if you make room for the Word of God through prayer, maybe fasting, you will get the mental stability you need. If your marriage needs a touch this year, if you make room for God in your marriage will be healed. If you need financial blessings, if you make room for God's way of doing finances, your finances can be healed this year. There's nothing that God cannot do, but listen to me now. He is going to do it His way. You are not going to make Him fit into your box. He's not coming to old wineskins. He's pouring out into new wineskins. And the first question, are you even a wineskin for the Lord this morning at all? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you given your life over to Him? If you haven't, we want to offer you that right here, right now, today. There's no sense in waiting another day. Two things that's not going to happen. You're not going to join this church today. Don't worry about joining a church. And you're not going to have a religion. We're not giving you some type of religion or denominationalism or anything like that. What we offer you is Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, who died for your sins because you couldn't die for your own sins. You can't pay your own sins. Only He did. And it's the free gift of God. It is through grace, but it's by your faith when you believe that His word is absolute truth and it's for you, not against you. So with no strings attached, anybody in here today, by just lifting your hand and saying, today's my day, I want to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in here right now? Just lift your hand up. Anyone? All right, we got work to do, don't we? You should be excited. We got work to do. It's exciting. We got this many saved people going to go out of here today and have an impact this next week at work and town and at Walmart and at schools. Hallelujah. What a field we have. What a workers we have to hit the field this next week. Awesome. But how many would say with me today, there's been times I walk in an old wineskin mentality. I'm rigid in some areas. And let me tell you something, folks. I've lived that Christian life of rigidity. And when I started studying the Word of God and opening myself up to the Spirit man of the Holy Spirit, the third person of God, and He wasn't spooky and He wasn't weird, He's a gentleman of the word. And I had to make myself pliable to go where God wanted me to go. And can I tell you, I still have to do that? Because guess what? Everything God has ever done in my life or will ever do in my life is not going to make 100% sense to me all the time. But when I go to the word and I see it doesn't violate the word of God, then I begin to step into it when it doesn't violate the word of God. Now, if it violates the word of God, I'm not going there because it's not going to be of God. Even no matter how good man made it look or it sounds, if it ain't of the word of God, we're not going there. We're not going to compromise the word of God for anybody. But I want to be a new wineskin where he can be new every morning to me because he's His faithfulness is great to be new to me every day. And if that's you and you want that new wineskin in your life this year, and you want to be that new wineskin for the new wine, just lift your hands up to the Lord. Father, here we are with hands outstretched to you this morning, God, desiring an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our lives, desiring to be one of those who understand and know the things of God, because we have a spirit that can discern the things of God. And we understand that they're new every day, Father. And you're wanting a vessel to pour into, Lord. And right here, right now, Lord, pour into us, God. Bring the healings, God. We're making room. Bring the freedom. We're making room, God. Bring the spiritual, the mental, the marital, the financial, Lord. The emotional, God. The physical healings and deliverances, God. Because we're here ready, Lord. We have room for you, God. And we can see it before we get it today, God. See yourself as the head and not the tail. See yourself lifted high and not beneath. See yourself more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. See yourselves as a son and daughter of God this morning. A royal priesthood of a holy nation. And begin to walk and talk and act like such. So Lord, say this when we say, pour it out. Because I'm right here, Lord. Come on, because I'm right here today, God. For your glory, for your honor, and for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can you give him a hand clap? Wow. Wow, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.